Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing on this Bible study in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go over here to Romans, the second chapter, real quick. How's everybody doing? Well, that's good. Hallelujah. Romans 2, verse 1. We're going to rehash something here just for a second, but it's really actually not rehashing. You know, it's actually just informing ourselves again. Because sometimes we have the spirit to let things slip. Not that we have a desire to let things slip, but, you know, if we're not constantly reminded of some things, you know, especially when we find ourselves right in the midst of a particular trial, you know, a tribulation, sometimes we don't have the spirit of recall to where we can recall actually, you know, I should be able to know what this is. You understand what I mean? And so that's why, you know, when I was in the military, we constantly did stuff over and over and over again. And the reason why we did it over and over again, because not only so it becomes second nature, but for the tenth reason, for perfection, that you perfect the thing. You understand what I mean? Hallelujah. Sometimes we, when we're dealing with forgiving people or choosing not to forgive people, sometimes we invoke our will. But there's a few things we need to be reminded of. And it says this in Romans 2:1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. You hear that? Whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judges another, what do? You actually condemn yourself. For you that judge doest the same things. Have y'all figured out that we're usually pretty critical, and we usually hate the most in others what we refuse to see in ourselves? I'm not going to say seeing ourselves, because we saw in ourselves, we wouldn't respond to ourselves that way. So the thing that we usually hate the most in others and stuff, we usually despise the thing in ourselves. Hallelujah. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. You hear that? We all know that God is no respecter of persons. Isn't that the truth? Yes. Is that right? Now, let's go over here for a second. Let's look at Luke 11. And what we're going to do here just for a second to understand something. We understand a few things a little bit more than other people do. We bless the name of Jesus for that. Because to put something in action is to mean that you understand it. Isn't that right? Luke 11, starting in verse 21. Pay attention. Look what it says. You know, before we hit that part right there, let's just go to the 14th verse, okay? And look what the scripture says. And he was casting out a devil. That means he was in the process of doing this. That's an action. Is that not the way the language is implying? He was casting out a devil. It was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out. You hear that? The dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. They accusing Jesus of casting devils out of people by the power of Satan. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, and he said unto them, you know, pay attention when you're reading in the Gospels or how many times you see the actual wording and him knowing their thoughts. And when he perceived their thoughts, and then he give an answer. Because, you know, sometimes you can get that confused that's what they said. Well, he didn't deal with that. He dealt with the spirit of man. And so he already knew what was in man. And so he was answering them according to their thoughts. Yeah. And he said unto them, every kingdom. See, this is the issue right here, brothers and sisters. It's a kingdom issue. It's a kingdom issue. There are only two kingdoms operating on this earth. It makes no difference whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? God didn't inquire of us when this whole thing was created. You know, we just fall on one side or the other. That's all it is to it. So this is a kingdom thing. So he's dealing with this from a kingdom perspective. Look what he says. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Meaning it will be destroyed. It will come to naught, come to nothing. A kingdom that is divided against itself. And a house divided against itself falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? See, a lot of people hate to hear this, but it is the truth that Satan has a very well-organized, well-run kingdom. They may not have a stitch of love in it, but they all agree into what they're doing and what their mission is. The hard part for us is getting the people of God to agree with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan has total unity in his kingdom. May not have a lick of love, but he has total unity in it. They know what their purpose is. Hallelujah. The church needs to know what their purpose is and what kingdom they are of and who they're serving. Hallelujah. And he says, because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? You hear that? Well, today we can actually say nobody, because there ain't nobody doing it today. I mean, the scribes and Pharisees' sons even had more power than, they had manifest more power than what we do today. Pretty sad when the Catholic Church actually exhibits more power than the Baptists, the Methodists, the Apostolics, the Pentecostals, amen, the Seventh-day Adventists. Yes, sir. It's just the truth. So Jesus asking questions about, well, how do your sons do it then? Therefore, they shall be your what? Judges. Isn't that something, the son going to judge the father? Remarkable. Look what he says. But if I, with the finger of God. Now we know how powerful the finger of God is, right? Because that's what he wrote the covenant with. He wrote the covenant on two tables of testimony, two tables of stone. Is that right?
Yes,
written with the finger of God. See? Hear that? Not a handwriting. Finger. That's why the commandments cannot be done away with. None of, especially the seven-day Sabbath.
Amen.
It was written with the finger of God.
Amen.
Perpetual covenant, forever.
Amen.
I don't care how many Baal-worshipping Sunday folks agree. They're liars and they're wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But anyway, but if I were the finger of, but if I were the finger of God cast out devils, how does he do it? With the finger of God. No doubt. The kingdom of God has come unto you. See, y'all understand that? The kingdom of God has come to you. And look what he says now. He's going into something. When a strong man armed keepeth his what? Palace. His goods are what? In peace. When a strong man armed. And don't God want us to be strong in the Lord? And in the power of his might? Whenever we're not in his might, we're pretty weak. And we exhibit weak and we show our weaknesses. Isn't that right? But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and over what? Come him. Is that right? He taketh from him all his armor. And we know about the armor, right? We know about the armor of God, right? Look at this. Wherein he trusted and divideth his what? Spoils. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. That's a kingdom statement. See, Jesus flat out letting the people know, you either for me or you against me. Then he goes on to say, look at this. When an unclean spirit is gone out of an animal. Didn't say that, did it? A lot of people hate to admit that today, because you know, you ever saw the way, if you ask folks, do you believe that Christians can have demons, see how they respond and react? People really hate to admit that. I mean, the truth is, nobody likes to admit that they got devils in them. I never met anybody that didn't have an abundant supply of them. That's a pretty strong statement. Isn't it right? Well, Jesus knew where they were. That's why he cast the devils out of humans and then he sent them into animals. Hallelujah. See, these are ignored facts in our days. Isn't that right? Look what he says. And when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto what house? See, the devil actually believed that your body is his house. He believes that. And he lives and he adjusts his kingdom to that philosophy. That you are his house. The devil does. Look what he says. I will return to my house once I came out. And of course, there ain't too many devils coming out of folks today. So people have become what the scriptures term as a habitation of devils. I mean, when you get all these sayings, Christians can't have devils, people can't have devils, and you know, everybody got devils but Americans. Or poor folk got devils, but civilized folks don't have devils. I'm sorry, folk, but devils are not racist. They're not segregated. They don't believe in discrimination. No, they don't either. And they don't believe in affirmative action either. They just do what they do. That's inhabit human beings. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And then when they get into you, human beings, they act out their nature through you, which you have taken on. You know, we've all done it before. Taking on that is, that's just the way we are. We believe the lie. Huh? Well, and when he cometh, he find it swept and garnished. Isn't that something? Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the what? Worse than the last state is worse than the first. Seemed like it'd been better off if the devil just stayed in there the way it was, rather than go ahead and get free and then turn around and allow the devil that was cast out back in, and then he solidify and fortify his position by bringing seven more spirits wickeder than he is. But this happens all the time. Happens all the time. And of course, Matthew 18. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You know, this seems to be one of the most difficult things for Christians to do. Is to actually go to a brother or to a sister when someone is trespassed against them. It's much more easy for us to go to somebody else who's not involved. This is going to tell it. We cowards. This is going to tell it. See, if we do it Jesus' way, chances are, we could probably build a lasting relationship of trust and confidence unparalleled. Oh, my. This is good teaching. It says, but if he will not hear thee, then take to thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, what, you or the witnesses? See, don't go and take somebody and then you going to explain the people who you taking everything that's going on in detail on your behalf so you can slant the situation to you. Just get two witnesses and explain the situation when you're in the presence of the other person. And you know, some folk just ain't gonna do this, so they're automatically admitting guilt. See, this used to be very effective when there was judges in the land. And so since, you know, people today, what they'll shun you and just shut it up. And what you ought to do, if you get someone that will not submit to this way that Jesus say do it, just shun them. And you have two witnesses that say that they will not submit to this. See, we don't like to do stuff like that. I don't know why, but we need to learn how to do stuff like that. Because some folk, they're just so full of themselves, they ain't going to accept no type of adjustment at all. Chances are you get two witnesses there, they're two, you know, witnesses to hear the whole thing out. Chances are things may not go your way and you went and bought them for the situation. But see, that's what you do when you allow yourself to be judged. Hallelujah. You know what this would do? This would keep down a whole bunch of contention in the assembly. You know how much a foothold the devil would have? If we had a fault with our brother, we go to him and him alone and not go to everybody else? We could cut out a lot of contention, couldn't we? And look what he said. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Amazing, isn't it? Let him be a what? Heathen man and a publican. How do you treat heathen people? How do you treat publican? You don't do nothing wrong with them. You just don't have any communion with them, no fellowship with them. And if someone's really truly born again, that's a kind of heavy weight for someone to bear. It really truly is. Hallelujah. Now, we know the story about forgiving others, right? We need to forgive others because we already forgiven. And we want to continue to be forgiven. Because if we don't forgive, you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen, right? You're not going to be forgiven. You're going to have a whole bunch of tormentors. And the tormentors manifest in your physical body. Remember what I said in Dine Hall this morning? When Israel is walking upright with God, there's no need for miracles. Since there's so much sin going on in the world, we need miracles. In order for God to manifest his grace to a bunch of rebellious folks that's done decided to just kick against his law. Think about it. If we're walking upright, obeying his commandments, doing his statutes, doing everything which is right in his sight, there's no need for miracles. I've read in here, I can't tell you how many times that God gave the land peace when they were obeying him. Hallelujah. All right. Well, you need to learn how to forgive and do it from the heart. Because forgiving, let's explain a few principles of forgiveness, okay? Forgiving is not forgetting. Because you're not going to forget anyway. So we might as well not even try to play games in trying to forgive. I mean, forget. Because you ain't going to forget. All right? But as long as you don't forgive, you're actually putting off the pain that you could be alleviated from. You understand that? Because you know over in Matthew 18, verse 34, it said, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their what? Trespasses. Now remember what we read over in Romans 2, thou art inexcusable, old man. You going to condemn somebody for something you doing the very same thing? All right now. Amen. See, when it's put out in this light and it's bought out like this, boy, woo, we gotta reevaluate ourselves, don't we? How many times we've held a record of wrongs of others? I was talking to Sister Vicky about a greenhouse day, and I said, isn't it amazing? See, here we all adults and stuff, and of course, you know, when they're in their young teenage years, they're pretty much merciless because they haven't had the opportunity to live life yet.
Then they turn around, they live life, they fall into the same sins that the adults have been telling them about all this time. No matter how much you tell them, they still fall into them. And they shouldn't fall into them, because sometimes those sins bear consequences that they're not able to bear. All they got to do is be wise, take wise counsel. They wouldn't have to deal with a lot of that stuff. You can keep yourself from so much heartache and trouble if you can just obey that simple word. Can't tell you how many teenagers I know that's sitting in prison right now because they thought they knew how life ran and wouldn't listen to nobody. Can't tell you how many teenage girls I know that said that, well, we're not going to be like them and stuff, and now got, before they hit 20, got 2-3 babies and not even married. Boys ain't got a job and can't even support the family structure and stuff, but they know how to lay with women and make babies, though. It's just a perpetual covenant of hell. That's why we teach the women to be holy. That's right. Hallelujah. Keep yourself from all that mess. Isn't it right? Because it's not an honorable thing. You said, you know, the whole structure of American society was basically built on people understanding what it means to have principles and morals without laws regulating their lifestyles of morality. Am I making sense? In other words, it's commonly understood, don't have sex until you get married. And when you build a strong family structure right there, you're building a very strong society. And we see, when we start getting loose, look what happened. See, remember, the Greeks and the Romans, they all fell because of this, what's going on now in our society. This free love junk that they call free love. Free sex, free love, revolution. You see what's going on? And all it does is it erodes and it destroys the very fabric of society. Because you have a bunch of dysfunctional homes. You got the women who's always left with the children. No father figure around to even raise the children, to teach them the structure of what it means to have a father. That strong family priesthood. And so then the women is left in the role to be father and mother, caretaker and provider. Because all these sorry men, amen, won't work, but they're going to eat, though. You know how they're going to eat? They're going to go down to a government and set up these principles to get food stamps. See, so the things we teach and tell, it'll keep you from a whole lot of heartache. It will. But that's the way society was intended to be, because that's how people had strong convictions, strong morals, strong principles and stuff. But when you look at all these people going around 12, 13 years old, having sex, having babies and carrying on, and nobody has any responsibility for it. And then by the time, I met a lady the other day that was 32 years old and a grandmother. What are they telling you? That's a little too soon, isn't it? A grandmother, 32? Huh? And not just a one either, about 3 or 4 of them. So if you don't have the father there who doesn't have any principles that'll raise the children and stuff, you got the destruction of the family right there in itself. And then if they left up for the government to take care of them and stuff, you're going to be even more destroyed. So by the time people get finished looking at DVDs, looking at movies, and every immoral thing that spews out through the TV and stuff, what type of conscience are you going to develop? And what type of principles are you going to have when you're not going nowhere that people going to teach you what's right and what's wrong? Used to be an honorable thing for a woman to be a virgin when she was married. Now, normally before a woman get married, she done had about 7, 8, 9 guys she done been through. And the man, he probably done got about 4 or 5 children. If not 4 or 5, at least 1 or 2. And then you got to deal with that issue of going over, this lady does, to see somebody else's child is not hers. And then you got this little war and fight that's going on. And then the devil shows up. Yeah, you going over there and see her. Huh? See, you can't even do what you see what I'm saying? So to avoid all that mess, just be holy. Just do it the way God say do it. Mm-hmm. Just avoid all that mess. I'm serious. Man, that's some bad stuff to deal with. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And of course, there ain't too many people because the jail's so full today. You know what I mean? If the children are raised up and the family structure itself, because normally you get your mom on drugs and carrying on and stuff, cutting the food. She wants to party just like the children do. She young and dumb, and she wants to party and got to live her little what you call life and stuff. What did the children learn? They learn from what they see. And then you got this same old wheel. Hallelujah. Now today we get a man, if he, let's say a husband and wife was married. Now you know what's going on? A husband and wife is married because there's so much bitterness between the two and they end up getting divorced. Now you're getting women going to women and men going to men. So I'm not going to deal with another woman again. But then that spirit come up on them and look how much homosexuality has been increased. You mean, hey, it was unheard of in my day as a child growing up. As a young man and teenager growing up. But nowadays it's common to hear that a man has done left his wife for another man. Or a woman has done left her husband for another woman. That's common today. Then they got TV shows out there that promotes this type of behavior. See, this is the erosion. I'm telling you, our whole society as we know it is just falling apart right around. It's just being eroded. See, so there's more to it than say, just don't do it. You know, the unpleasant stuff that nobody like talking about. There's more to it than just don't do it. Hallelujah. Used to, before a man would get married, he would be established. Now that everybody got to test the waters. And even when you start testing water, you don't even know what you're doing then. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that a mess? See, there's more to it when we tell you just don't do it. I don't know how we end up on it. There's more to it than just tell you just don't do it, though. You understand what I mean? That goes for everybody in here. I don't care. 60 and under. It's a shame to see that. We got women in society today. And I'm forget about society. I know we ain't been raised right. We ain't been taught nothing. That's why we're here. We start walking upright from that day forth. Amen. I'm a preacher. I'm just bold enough to tell folk, and I get it right off in their face. No more. You going to do that kind of behavior? Don't come back here no more. I don't want you sitting up there giving that cancer around here and that's bringing that spirit in here. Amen. Can you imagine sitting up here being a woman, and here you are having sex with your husband, and you and your husband named John, and you calling on Joe. Believe it or not, it happens. Or here a man having sex with his wife, and her name is Mary, and you calling on Elizabeth. See, so to avoid all these pitfalls, be holy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just give you more opportunity to get more bitter.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it does. So let's look at this thing. Forgiveness is a choice.
Amen.
Yeah, it is. Yes, forgiveness is a choice. You have to understand, we are already pre-wired for revenge.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Am I the only person living in this world?
No,
why do you think it hurts so much when somebody cross us? We got a natural way we respond, don't we? Do we not? So it's a choice, brothers and sisters, because, you know, we really want revenge. And this feeling of revenge makes it hard for us to forgive others. See, rather being led by the Spirit or led by the Word, now we're led by feelings and emotions. So that's why you got to check them things. The only acid test of your feelings and emotions can be checked by is the Word.
Right.
How many times we've been led by feelings and emotions and they got us in trouble? Got us, it set us up, but we thought we were so right though. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. You see, because forgiveness seems to go against our senses because it doesn't seem fair. Because we've been used, taken advantage of. Somebody hurt us, disappointed us, and done us wrong. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But when you really truly learn this thing the way the Messiah taught it is when you forgive others, you get free. You get free. And that's what the devil don't want you to know. He don't want you free. Huh? See, the truth is, you're going to have to forgive anyway and live with the consequences anyway because you ain't got no choice. You're going to live with them anyway. Yeah, so you're going to have to choose to live with the consequences. And if you're just not forgiving, you're saying, I choose not to live with the consequences, even though the consequences are there, I'm living with them anyway. So you're going to have to learn how to live with the consequences of the other person's sins. That's all there is to it. Thou the inexcusable, old man. Thou that judges another. Don't you condemning yourself? See, some of the same things that we hate in others, we condemn it even in our own self by hating others. And you know the devil can't wait to capitalize on these feelings and emotions. Because the first thing, hey, he knows how much stock humans put in feelings. Everything today is not what the word says, but how you feel. What you going to tell him if you got heartburn at that time? You going to tell him your heart is hurting or you're burning or something like that? Hallelujah. See, so we're going to grow up in this thing and do it the way that the book says. Because no matter what somebody else does, we still going to live with it. And there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. Now, you can do about the way you respond and react. Amen. See, I'm telling you the things that, this is the one of the main reasons why people are so full of cancer and arthritis and so many other, you know, and especially women. Oh, boy, bless y'all soul. And you have to understand, I'm not jumping on you women, even though somebody need to. Y'all made up different than we are. Y'all built on emotions. Tell me how many of y'all women would look at a man and say, hey, man, just don't care. You know why? Because he ain't got no time to be messing around all that stuff like y'all do. You know what? Y'all would put Samsonite out of business with all the stuff y'all can carry. Y'all can remember something done in 1942 at 12:23 a.m. and tell you if the sun was shining or not, who was all standing there, and every single detail of it. A man be sitting up there like you, huh? Don't you sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about. He in a doghouse. You better get out of that house. And here you are sitting here trying to convince him and remind him of something he did 40 years ago. He like, what? I'm saying women got a memory like that. A man here, huh? What? You got to be kidding me. I don't remember that. Oh, so yeah, you do. You remember that. Then you turn around and get mad because you think they're lying because they don't remember. And then for the next 3 weeks to a month, they're in the doghouse. Every time they pass by you, pass by them, they feel that spirit. And y'all like radiating them things too. See, you've got to know your physical makeup. God made us different. And that's why men, we have to be aware that women are made up different. Why do you think that the women are the ones who mostly in the most physical trouble when it comes to deliverance? They the ones that have already been cut on, had operated on, all kind of just troubles everywhere in their bodies. We just dumb. I can't put it any other way. We just dumb. I'm sorry, brothers. I'm telling the truth. We are just dumb and ignorant. That's all it took.
Yes, sir.
Half time, I can't even blame the women looking at us because without God's word, hey, I'm telling the truth. That old saying, day late and dollar short. 10 years late. And see, if you know that about yourself, then you can know what way the enemy is going to come. That's why you have to know what the Bible says. I'm sorry, sisters, but men don't carry around a black book of faults and wrongs. And you do good to get rid of it. Because you carrying around and keeping that records of wrong is stating and showing that you have the spirit of unforgiveness. And you're bitter. And as long as you hold that stuff, it's going to tatify to you. You're going to be in torment. Now, don't worry. Men, they got troubles too. They don't forgive like they should. Men got problems because, see, they so dumb that they hadn't figured out why they always have to wrestle with pride and envy. You sit and watch men. You sit and watch them have so much competition with each other, and the women sitting back going, why in the world are they doing that? You sit and watch a man. I can't tell you how many times I used to sit and watch this. I'm going to use as an example me growing up. We'd be out playing basketball. And all of a sudden, if a woman came by, all of a sudden, everybody for that moment she came by had the most intense physical effort put forth. And I can tell you by experience, and from experience, a woman could care less what are y'all doing out there. Amen. Or they could be sitting there talking about something, and then the one that gets the most courage is the one who thinks the woman's paying attention to him. Kind of like them chickens out in the yard, scratching and carrying on, stirring up a bull, stirring up all that dust and stuff, going through all that cheap war dances and junk. What a mess. High praise the Lord. It's just a mess, though. It really is. It's a literal mess. And then we chalk the conversation around to say, did you see me? No. Now he has to experience a letdown because he set up and thought he done put forth his best effort and he thought the hen done saw him. And I tell them the truth. In case y'all sisters don't know this, I just told you the truth about men. That's the way they do too. I'm going to let it all out. I'm going to tell it all. Because they're just full of that pride. Hallelujah. And don't let nobody else. What happened in the book? Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000. And what did Saul do? He got hemmed up, didn't he? Did he not have resentment in his heart? Bitterness. Well, he's bitter towards David. Was he not? Was he not? And it ended in violence and murder. Did it not? Y'all see these things playing out? That's what the devil tried to entice us in situations every single day. Every single, don't care if you're male or female, he tries his best to put us in those situations. There's some things you have no control over, but yet you find yourself so much involved in them. And it depends on your level of understanding and how much word you got in you if you're going to respond right or not. Because you don't have to be, and you don't need to be, walking around in this world for the short amount of time we have allotted to us in torment. You need to be free. Because Jesus said, the Son set us free, you need to be free. Amen? Hallelujah? So, no one really truly forgives without accepting the suffering of the pain that others has caused. And one reason why we don't forgive, because we don't want to accept the pain nor the suffering. So revenge puts his noose around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. Justice was at the cross. Justice was at the cross. When Jesus forgave, Jesus, you know, he had so much compassion in him when he walked on this earth. Are you following me? That even while they was beating him, he was saying, Father, forgive him. When he put him on the cross, he was saying, Father, forgive him. Even Stephen, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Why don't we just learn to be intelligent? A lot of times when people are crossing our path, they don't know what they're doing. Because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. Because everything we do carries eternal dividends. You understand that? Eternal consequences. All right? Hey, it is a simple, but it's a simple and harsh reality of life that we're going to have to face. We're going to have to deal with the temporary consequences of other people's sins, and it's just a fact. That's just a fact. You're going to have to deal with them. That's all it is. And the last thing you need to do is wait for the other person to come and ask for forgiveness. You'll be waiting for hell to freeze over. Because a lot of times we create environments of bitterness towards others, and other people don't even know what's going on. See, it's not so much as really a setup, but we just unlearned. There ain't too many people telling us this. You know how many people, I often say, you know how many people in these graves died topped off with bitterness and unforgiveness of others, kept a record of hurts and wrongs, and just lived their lives with that stuff fermenting inside of them? I'm sorry, folk. I keep telling you. See, we can say environment and all that mess all you want to, but I'm telling you right now that this cancer is the reason why people are getting ate up because of unforgiveness. They're getting eat up because they just let the cancer of unforgiveness just eat them alive. See, there's something tied to those feelings. That's why that Jesus said forgiveness must be from the heart. And you know you are forgiven from the heart when there's no more pain associated with what they've done to you. Until then, there's still a pain associated. You can think about it. You haven't forgiven. You went through the emotions. You said the words, but you're still bearing the stripes and the scars in your body. And that's what the pains, the emotions is there for. So when you forgive from the heart, your heart is no longer pained by past sins. He who the Son set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're going to have to choose to not hold someone's sins against them about you. You want to choose that. Because I promise you, live on another year, two, three, four, five, somebody else going to do something. Sure will. Going to give you another opportunity to not forgive them. But since you are armed with the knowledge of truth, And you know, I often say this. There's nobody in this world, I mean nobody in this world, worth you suffering in your body for. Nobody but Jesus. No, there ain't nobody in this world worth you suffering. I mean, come on. Is somebody going to be that bad and that bitter and that mad at your stuff? I got, y'all know my saying? Don't let me get in the way of your happiness. Because I promise you, I'm going home and I'm going to do what? Go to sleep. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness. If it makes you happy to hate me, have fun. But I'm not going to hate you. If that makes you happy to be bitter against me, don't let me disturb you. I would advise you, it's not healthy to do. It's not the right thing to do. But I promise you this, you ain't got to worry about me. I ain't got time for all that. Not when I realize all the destruction and the stuff it's caused me. So, you know, your body is a barometer to the spirit realm. So you need to learn how to read your body. Because every place we read in here, the unclean spirit went out of a man. You need to learn how to read your body. And we do plenty enough spiritual teaching here. And including things we don't know, we're searching out to find to try to know. And the enemy hates us for that. By the way, our website, let's go to James here, James 5 real quick. You know, our website, somebody actually spent the time to put a bug, a virus in our website. And not only that, it actually went to a major host, a major server, and got it too. What? Praise the Lord. Devil doing what he's supposed to do. But so the guy who does our website, he had to actually go through every single page and remove the virus one by one. Is that amazing? We got to be doing something right for somebody to pick on little old us. Man, 6.5 billion people out there in the world, and you got to pick on us? Old Gideon, huh? James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick. Does save mean heal? See, y'all don't understand. A lot of times, you know how many 10 times I pray for people for little headaches and stuff like that and stuff? What you got to do is start searching for sin. A lot of times when we passed out, can't pray for my head hurting. My head hurting, Pastor. Can you pray for me, Pastor? My head hurting. I don't mind doing. I really don't. But you're getting forgiveness of sins when your head is prayed for and it stops hurting. But you need to start searching. Your body is a barometer to the spiritual realm. You need to find out what's going on. There's something drastic that's done changed. Whether it be in your mind or your life or your thought pattern that you're giving place to. So you need to figure out and try to do an assessment of what that thing is, okay? Because the enemy's trying to destroy us, and we're trying to keep ourselves in good health. Isn't that right? And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed what? Sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, here's, watch this one. Confess your faults one to another, and do what? Pray for one another, that you may be what? Healed. See, that's one thing that don't take place too much nowadays. You can't, hey, in deliverance, you can't help but do that. It's not that we want to know anything about you, but you got some faults that's going to have to come out. If you want us to better able to aid and assist you, you want to tell us something so we can get better. Hallelujah. That's one thing we got around here. We're not going to go around here hashing out everybody's troubles and problems. All you got to do, whatever trouble you got, the person sitting next to you got the same thing. That's pretty simple. Hallelujah. So we pray for one another that we may be healed, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. See, that's a condition. The man needs to be right. It availeth much. So you may think small about someone. He may be nothing, but it depends. It's who God honors and not who you have in your mind, who you going to honor. Amen. Last one, Hebrews 12. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man do what? Availeth much. Y'all understand that? It does. It availeth much. Now watch this. Hebrews 12. Verse 14. That's, you know, we got that scripture up on the wall back there. Follow peace with the people only you like. Don't say that, do it. People who you're fond of. Your best friend. Your piezo, your buddy, your chum, your pal. Your kicking it mate. You don't say that, do it. It says all men. And holiness without which no man shall do what? See the Lord. Here it is. Looking diligently. Looking diligently that you what? Follow peace with all men and holiness. Why? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. How do you fail of the grace of God? Well, we're going to teach you how you fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness. That's how you fail of the grace of God. Anytime you harvest bitterness in your heart, you fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up. And what does it do? It what? Troubles who? Everybody else? No, it don't say this. It troubles who? You. And thereby many be defiled. Everybody you come in contact with. They're defiled by the spirit you're harvesting. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward he would have inherited a blessing, and he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know how many times we hold bitterness and we sit up here asking God to forgive us, and you know what? He can't do it because we won't forgive the people around us. Wow. You mean tell me God operates like that? That's why it's not worth you holding somebody's past against them. It's not worth you harvesting ill wills and feelings. There's nobody in this world worth you doing that for. I promise you. Unless, and I don't know. I don't know how many saints really like to have a love affair with cancer. And tiptoe through the tulips with arthritis. I don't know how many people just asking for arthritis. Just, Arthur, come and take me over. Sweep me off my feet. I don't think it's too many people asking for that. Very few people doing something about it, though. We're here so we can do something about it. There's nobody in this world. Look to your left or right and say, there's nobody in this world worth me suffering in my body. You do it. Y'all get that? You do it. I'm not going to do it. You do it. I ain't got time for that mess. And you know what? The Bible teaches, let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you got so much peace, and once you get a taste of peace from the Prince of Peace, you all of a sudden it becomes addictive. You start looking more peace, more, man. If your mind wasn't nothing but a storm, and then all of a sudden you are tasting to see how good God is, and you're getting some peace of mind for once in your life, I mean, you ain't gonna let nobody sit up there and mess that up. No, every peace that you gain, every ground you gain, you're gonna protect that with all diligence. You're gonna set things you used to have time for, you're gonna find. I ain't got no time for that mess. I done been there. I'm not going that way no more. Nuh-uh, but I can tell you which way that path going to lead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Is that right? So let him repay it. You stop trying to be the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, may these sayings sink deep down in our hearts. Amen. Y'all let these sayings sink, okay? Sink. Forgive everybody. So God can forgive you. So the next time you get on your knees, God will hear your prayer. A lot of folk, boy, they set up out. They actually think they're praying to God and they're praying to hurt. The God of hurt. And wonder why you're still hurting when you get up. Hallelujah, it's right anyway. It is right. Y'all sisters, remember, and see, if y'all know this, y'all got half the battle conquered. You are built on emotions. And what I mean by that is that you're more prone to give place to feelings and emotions than men are. That's why God didn't make you the head. Hallelujah. What you do is you put it on that man, give him the responsibility, and let him have it. Because he can carry that weight. Sometimes, well, my man don't seem like he care nothing. Well, how about this one? Maybe he's casting all his cares on Jesus. Man, you felt like ain't nothing done unless you get into an emotional state. Hallelujah. Hey, this is just good teaching, brother and sister. And men, just stop being so dumb. Study. Don't no woman want to come to no dumb man. Don't sit up and get mad because she's asking somebody else questions because you dumb. You is thinking she want to see how good you look playing some sports when she want to see how close you can walk to God. Women are built on security. They want security. They want some guy when there's a chance that some thief could be in the house knocked at the door that you nudge them in the side and say, honey, go check that out and see who that is. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say some of you sorry men would do that. So fearful. You send your wife out to check out there and honey, I think I hear somebody walking around the building. Go check it out. Let me know if it's clear. I wouldn't blame her for cracking you upside the head with a lampstand. Hallelujah. I'm sorry that we just get a little bit practical, but we need to talk about this because we all of us ain't way up in cloud holy seven. Some of us are still here on earth. So we just real about these things. Your husband ever tell you something like that, crack him upside the head with a lampstand, and then ask God to forgive you later. Knock some sense in it. Now I ain't asking you to crack your husband because you know what I mean, that's the wrong thing to do, but still, he needs some help. Or get up in front of the best way you can help him is next time we have testimony, sir, get up in front of church and tell everybody. Sit there, watch him look like a deer in the headlights. did you hear what I said, honey? Well, you didn't hear me at home. So I just thought I'd just tell everybody, maybe you can hear it now. Of course, then when you get home, the husband say, don't do nothing like that. That's so he can keep on hiding off in his sorry wickedness. Trying to deceive everybody else. He got it all together. And when he set up at testifying, look over at his wife and see how she responds. She's probably doing this. Hallelujah. Y'all have a good day.